There's a snap. There's a kick. It is up. It is no good. No one missed.
I think we got a heck of a shot of winning. We beat anybody in the world, and I think we're going to win next Sunday.
Eli Manning stays on his feet, airs it out down the field. It is caught by Tyree.
For all you non-believers, disrespect us, talk crap about the defense like we ain't the third best defense in the league.
See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
Kilpatrick. Enzo. Eric Decker holds it in. The Jets win in overtime.
And the New York Giants, given last rites by many in December, are the Super Bowl champs in February.
This is NFL Friday, going long on all news, reaction, and game picks for the Giants, Jets, and across the NFL on WFUV Sports.
Welcome to this week's edition of NFL Friday. It is a big one. This is the first weekend of the playoffs. I'm Grace McCarron, joined by my co-hosts Will Talon and Zach Cordova. We're going to be taking you through playoff picks and also briefly touching on the Jets and Giants. Their seasons conclude neither with a playoff berth, but a lot to think about as their seasons come to an end. But before we get into all that, how are you doing, Will and Zach?
I'm doing great. Break slowly coming to an end, sadly, but that's all right. That means we got a big semester coming up for the three of us and everyone at WFUV. Pretty happy the Giants are over, though. That was hard to watch, very hard to watch. I am going to miss them, ironically, but even though they are very bad, I get very excited when they play, and now they're not going to play for a while or play poorly for a while. So I don't know. Could be a good, could be a bad thing. We'll see what happens with the draft. But Zach, your squad in the playoffs for the first time in a while, you must be pretty fired up.
Oh, yeah, man. Break has treated me great because it has been, man, almost 10 years since my Denver Broncos have been in the playoffs. The last time we clinched the playoffs, I was 12 years old. So to think I'm 21 years old and about to graduate college and my team just clinched the playoffs for the first time since I was 12 is a pretty crazy feeling. So I'm pretty pumped up for the team. I was one of the people shouting from the rooftops at the beginning of the season that this team was going to be better than people thought they were. And here we are. We're in the playoffs, 10-7, and I'm pumped.
Well, we will, of course, touch on the Denver Broncos and their matchup this weekend against the Buffalo Bills shortly. But before we get into playoffs, as you were talking about, Will, we do have our local teams. Their seasons are over, thankfully, I think on both sides of the coin. I'll start with the Giants. They finished their season a pretty lousy 3-14. The team did announce after their last game on Sunday that Brian Daboll and Joe Shain are going to be returning to their jobs as head coach and general manager, respectively, next season. And I wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that because I feel like from a lot of the fan base, there were calls for one of them to be fired, both of them to be fired. A lot of turmoil there. So I'll throw it to you first, Will, one of our Giants beat reporter. What did you think?
I was teetering with one of them is going to get fired, and I thought it was going to be Daboll, even though for me personally, I didn't want that to happen. So I am happy that they are going to allow them to run it back. A lot of Giants fans right now, especially on social media, lots of different opinions, and warranted too. It's been very frustrating since the last Super Bowl that they won. I know they made the playoffs the one year Daniel Jones got that one win. That was a great year, and they've seriously stepped backwards from that year. And that's just kind of how the Giants have been for the last 10, 12 years, whatever it is now. So I digress, but I'm happy both of them are coming back. Yes, did Joe Shane make a bad business decision in signing Daniel Jones, not retaining Saquon Barkley? Yes, I think we all get it now. I'm pretty sure we're all there. That was not a great move. That was a detrimental move. And what a lot of people may think, a fireable offense. I'm not saying they're wrong, but I'm also saying you should give them a little bit more time than 3 years. They inherited not the best of situations. And they also wanted their own quarterback from the jump. They got a good year out of Jones. And that was great. But it was pretty clear that they wanted their own quarterback. They definitely wanted a quarterback last year, although they settled for Malik Nabers, which turned into be a revelation. That's great. This year, they're in a little bit of a pickle after winning that one game against the Colts. But I think whoever they settle on, they could still find somebody. They could still bring somebody in. Let them execute their plan. Give them at least another year, maybe two. You know, if they go 0-17 next year, sure. If they go 1-16, sure. But I don't think you can expect them to be good or competitive at all next year. But at least they hit on the draft and they make decisions that will move them forward. Just give them some time though. Let them work it out. I would say after two more years, then you reassess and you say, all right, what are we doing here? But I think it's a little bit too early to pull the plug on both of them personally.
I think that's an interesting take just because it seems just about everybody in the media is screaming for Dable's head. And I agree with you. I think you got to give more time for things to develop. I don't think it happens overnight. And that's kind of, I don't want to get into it too much, but that's my whole beef with the whole Patriots situation right now and them firing their coach after one season. But at the same time, my problem with the Giants and watching their games this season is it doesn't feel like they have an identity on either offense or defense. And I feel like that's been their detriment the whole season. But I think there is a silver lining. You get Malik Nabers, and he had a great season. What did he finish with? I think like 1,200 receiving yards,
Yeah,
something
something like
like
that.
that. So at the end of the day, you get like almost like what the Vikings had for with Justin Jefferson now before this season, before they really started to go off. They had a guy who was almost quarterback proof. No matter what, he's going to get his yards and he's going to perform. Now you've got your star receiver. Now you've got to find a guy who complements him, who can run your entire offense. And I think losing or winning that game at the end of the season, which, by the way, absolutely hilarious for the Colts season to end that way, losing to the Giants in that fashion. But winning that game and losing the number one pick, it's got to hurt a little bit. But I'm not too excited about this year's draft in terms of quarterbacks. I think Shedeur Sanders is a fine prospect. I think Cam Ward's also a fine prospect, but watching them, I'm not sure how they pan out. I think it's, maybe another season. If they really, really tank it next season and they go for another top guy, I'm not sure who's going to be in the quarterback pool next year. But like I said, you got Malik Nabers. You have a very solid receiver. Now hold on to him this time and don't get rid of him like you did Saquon. Make the right decisions. And I think if anything, the Giants learned their lessons this season and they're going to use that moving forward. I think that's exactly why, to your point, it is good to keep your coaching staff there because they learned their lessons from past mistakes now. They know how to move forward. They know how to build off of this, hopefully. And you may get a turnaround from the Giants in a couple of years. It may not happen super quickly, but if you're just firing everybody every season and get cleaning house, you're never going to get any sort of consistency going. And I think there was a time where the Giants did get some consistency going when they made that playoff run. So build off of that, try to get back to that. And I don't think it's necessarily over for this coaching staff. I think they have a little bit more time, but you got to admit, Dable is on the hot seat.
Yeah, I will say he is on the hot seat for sure. They're going to have to see some improvements in a lot of areas that they need next year. Like you hope that Tyrone Tracy takes a step forward. He had a great rookie season. He was a sixth round pick out of Purdue. He was also a wide receiver in college and he played, I think it was maybe a year at running back and he did pretty well. So they definitely have some highlights for the offense and you hope that those guys take that step forward next year. One thing, and I've come back down to earth on this too. I really wanted them to get the number one overall pick at that quarterback, but I'm excited for their draft. And here's why. There's not a lot of teams. There's obviously two teams ahead of them that need a quarterback, and that hurts their case. Now, outside of that, there's not a lot of teams that need a quarterback or would be willing to take a quarterback in the first round in this particular class. So let's say the Giants miss out on a quarterback. They can go Travis Hunter, they can go Will Johnson. That immediately helps their very young secondary that played pretty well this year. Drew Phillips, Tyler Newbin. I know Tyler Newbin got hurt, but he was on very quietly in the defense rookie defensive player of the year discussions. He was leading all rookies in tackles. He was a ball hawk at safety. Excellent find. Drew Phillips at one point had the highest PFF grade for any quarterback in the NFL. And he racked up a couple interceptions down the stretch there. So their secondary is young. They have some movement though. Will Johnson, great cornerback out of Michigan, and Travis Hunter is Travis Hunter, and you can see what happens there. And let's say Jackson Dart ends up falling into the second round. I'm not too high on Milroe. He took a big step back this year. So we'll see. But I do kind of like Jackson Dart a little bit. He played really well against Duke, and he had some very solid numbers. I did a little bit of digging. I didn't know he was that good at Ole Miss. So someone like that falls to the second round. That's someone that Dable and Shane could work with if they miss out on Ward or Sanders. I would personally want Ward if they're shooting high for quarterbacks. But I think if they miss out, there's still a path where they can really hammer this draft again and get some good talent in the first round. Obviously, you could end up getting the best player in the draft in Travis Hunter, and you could still come away with some very quality picks in rounds 2 through 5, whatever the case may be. So I'm pretty excited, even though they did miss out on that first overall pick.
Here's a question I have, and is Travis Hunter going both positions, or is he going just cornerback or receiver? Do we know up to this point?
I don't think anything's been official, but I would say that he's going to be a cornerback, and
Right.
maybe there'll be some plays for him on offense wherever he goes.
And I think that, not to make this about the Broncos, but we see the effect of a top cornerback on a defense. Pat Surtain over in Denver. You can't throw his way, no matter what. You cannot throw the guy's way. Quarterbacks have a higher rating just throwing the ball into the ground than throwing his way. So if you get a lockdown corner like a Travis Hunter, who you can also use on offense, you can plug in different places because he's just that good. It gives you a lot of potential to use, especially now you don't have a quarterback yet, but it gives you potential for the future because you let him develop a little bit more into his NFL role, and before you know it, you get your quarterback of the future. Assuming they don't mess up, you have some real potential on the offensive and defensive end.
Well, we're gonna have to see what happens with the Giants. Obviously, you hope for Dable and Shane's sake that they can string together a few more wins next year. Their schedule, or not the official schedule, but the teams that they will be playing next year did come out, and it's a pretty tough one. There's several playoff teams currently that they will be facing next year alongside, obviously, the normal divisional opponents, but I do want to turn it over to the Jets, who finished their season slightly better at 5-12. Obviously, with the Jets, a lot of similar questions around quarterbacks and their overall future, but they do need a new head coach and a new GM. They relieved both Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh of their duties in the middle of the season, so they have begun that search. Guys, Will, I'll throw it to you first. What do you think about the Jets? Where might they be going moving forward into the offseason and into next season?
That's a tremendous question, Grace. It really is, because I don't know. It seems like every 10 minutes or so, Schefter or Rappaport are tweeting about who the Jets are looking to interview for both of these positions. I just saw about 10 minutes ago they're looking to interview Chris Spielman from Ohio State. So I don't know. I really don't know. It's they The GM question, I really have no idea where they're going to go for that. I don't, there's obviously potential candidates out there and we could list them, but to decide who the right fit is, I don't know. I don't know. I think for head coaching wise, you probably want to tailor it more towards the offense, because your defense is pretty strong right now, and bring in someone who can keep that defense together. It's a shame because Robert Saleh did a great job with that defense, made them a formidable force, and then they let him go. But that's the Jets, man. So I heard that they're gonna, or that they did interview Ron Rivera. I don't really love that interview. I think Ron Rivera's coaching days may be past him. Rex Ryan, I heard, was brought in for an interview. That would be kind of a typical Jets hire. Bring back the coach that brought you a lot of success. And I'm not saying they've done this, but just in Jets fashion, brought you a lot of success. He was well liked for his winning over there for the 2 years. And then after then, it's a different story, but could be Rex Ryan. Yeah, I could realistically see that. I could see Woody Johnson making a move of that nature for sure. I do think, though, if they're going to make a decision soon, it should be offensive oriented. I think you want to keep Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall as well. I think that should be your main priority, is keeping your focal points on offense in the room, and you'll be able to piece together the defense as well, because the defense has a lot more moving parts, but a lot, I would say, higher functioning parts than the offense right now. So to stay afloat, bring in an offensive guy that can retool this defense, that can unlock some things that maybe we haven't seen out of Breece Hall, maybe make him more of a consistent guy in this scheme. And then Garrett Wilson is Garrett Wilson too. But I think a lot of it depends on Aaron Rodgers as well. There's no decision there. That will hold the Jets back too. Aaron Rodgers, I know he did say he's not going to take forever here, so they can, out of respect for the Jets, so they can get on with what they're trying to do. So we'll see what happens there. But Aaron Rodgers is going to be a big part of this search, and not saying that he's going to have a voice in it, saying exactly what it is. Is he going to stay or is he not? That will determine where the Jets go, because if he leaves, then they're right in that quarterback question. They could we see them drafting up or trading up in the draft? Because the Browns are kind of that question mark right now. Are they going to really draft a quarterback, or are they going to wait it out with Deshaun Watson, even though he's hurt and all the baggage that he has? They gave him all that money. Are they going to play him? I don't know. The Browns are the outlier right now, and the Jets could very easily be in that quarterback conversation, and a lot of it depends on Aaron Rodgers for sure.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Rodgers saying he's not going to take a long time. Just in his history and what we know from Aaron Rodgers, we know he could be a little bit of a drama queen sometimes. So who really knows? I think it's hard for the Jets at this point to start banking on that. I think they need to just start planning their future outside of Rodgers at this point. But I think an interesting point to make is everyone wants to bash Rodgers for this season. And also, can we agree that this is one of the jettiest Jets seasons that we've probably ever
100%.
seen?
100%.
Everyone wants to blame Rodgers, but he had the same exact stats as Patrick Mahomes, except I think he threw two more touchdowns.
He
I don't
really
know,
bad.
but I don't know. But everyone wants to praise Mahomes. We'll see. But at the end of the day, the Jets are in past plays. They, again, a team that really doesn't have an identity. They made all these moves this year, even trading for Devontae Adams, trying to reunite Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams, and didn't really transpire to much. And it almost feels like a, if we're going to compare it to the NBA, almost feels like a Brooklyn Nets situation, maybe not as extreme, but where they're trading and picking up all of these superstars to come play on the team, like pulling in KD and Harden and Kyrie, and none of it just meshes together and all collapses. The Jets have a lot to figure out this offseason, and it's going to be a tough one to try to pull this one out. And even though they did finish with a better record than the New York Giants, the Jets had a lot of expectations coming into the season. You have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback. You have a relatively stacked offense, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, as you mentioned, trading for Devontae Adams, and just didn't ever amount to much. So you're just in such a tough place, even though I've heard some rumblings too from Garrett Wilson potentially leaving after this year, just him being fed up with the whole organization. And who knows if he's going to be on the move as well. There's a lot of rumblings from a lot of receivers around the league because the money is there now, and it's up to the Jets of whether they're going to give that money to a guy like Garrett Wilson, or if they're going to try to go a completely different route and just go full rebuild after this season, because we got to admit this season was a disaster for the Jets.
Another thing too with the quarterback conversation, they do have Jordan Travis. I've heard a lot of different Jets fans throw his name out there. So they took him in. I can't remember. It was either the fifth or the sixth round last year, because he was hurt after a great year with Florida State. And a lot of people making the conversation about, look at Florida State now. They were terrible this year. They were just awful. But with Jordan Travis, they were something special. The whole controversy about them not making the playoffs last year, they had a great season, and he was a big part of it. He was low key kind of snubbed in the Heisman talk the year Jaden Daniels won, but that is definitely an option. I know he hasn't played football in about a year because his injury was pretty bad, but I do understand why Jet fans would throw his name in the conversation. Like, hey, maybe give him a shot, maybe get a bridge guy, and have Jordan Travis as your bona fide backup, say this bridge quarterback does get hurt. I don't know how competitive, no matter who the GM or the head coach is going to be, I don't know how competitive the Jets are going to be in general. So Jordan Travis could be a cool name and guy to entertain in this spot. But there's definitely a lot of questions. And as you said, Zach, it's definitely one of the more jettiest years that we've seen for sure. Super Bowl conversations to top 10 in the draft. And honestly, maybe a more questionable direction compared to where the Giants are at. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Yeah, I agree, especially with all of the questions around Aaron Rodgers right now. You don't know if he's going to be back. You don't know if you want to keep him after this season. I've heard some rumors that he may be traded, and who knows if Rodgers even wants to stick around if his name's being thrown in trade talks at this point. But there's a lot of questions in the Jets organization this offseason, and got a lot to figure out.
Yeah, this was definitely like the fact that this season and last season, it was supposed to be the year for the Jets. Like, this is it. You weren't even really thinking about what comes after Aaron Rodgers because it was like, yeah, they're going to win the Super Bowl. And that they just never got to that point, partially because he tore his Achilles. And then the next year, he was not enough to keep this team afloat. You do have to wonder if anybody wants him back. It kind of felt like on Sunday, he rode off into the sunset a little bit if this was his last game. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the clip of him and Pam Oliver after the game when he like gave her a hug and was like, "Love you, Pam." Like, that was kind of sweet, but it's like I don't really want Jets fans to forget like what happened this season. Like, just I want everybody to remember that this was a failed experiment, but we are going to get into the more fun part of football, and it's the first weekend of the playoffs, Super Wild Card weekend, and we have some picks to make. So, first of all, the Chiefs and Lions get the one seeds and therefore get the byes for this weekend, and then the roads to the Super Bowl go through Kansas City and Detroit on each side. But our first game of the weekend on Saturday is, in fact, Chargers at Texans, 5 seed heading to the 4 seed at 4:30 p.m. For this game, I'm gonna go with the Chargers. Look, kind of, I guess, an upset, lower seed being the higher seed, but they have the number one scoring defense in the league, pretty high scoring offense, number 11 in the league. They've won 3 in a row. I love what Jim Harbaugh has done for this team. I love the relationship he's built with Justin Herbert. I think it's awesome. And the Texans have been kind of up and down this season. They did win the AFC South, but that was not really much of a division this year. So I'm kind of down on them a little bit. And the Chargers have really impressed me so far. So I'm going to take LA on this one. And Zach, I'll throw it to you first.
This is a tough one for me to look at. I think I'm going to go with LA as well. I just think Houston's a little too banged up going into this matchup, and I felt like this was the team everybody wanted to play in the first round of the AFC playoffs. This is why the Steelers played their starters in the last week. This is why the Chargers played their starters in the last week. They wanted that fifth seed because they wanted to go up against Houston. And it's unfortunate for them because you'd like to see CJ Stroud and the Texans get a healthy playoff run, but I just don't think they have the firepower to do it. I think the Chargers have been on a roll lately, and I think they'll continue that, and I think they'll get the win here in the first round.
Yeah, I'm gonna go the Chargers too. The Texans a little disappointing this year, and they did have a lot of injuries. They had a very fun offseason, which made it suck a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. A
It
lot
was
of
very
hype.
fun. It was a lot of fun, but stay bring in Stefon Diggs, tears his ACL, he's done. The Tank Dell injury, it could be career altering. I'm not gonna say threatening. I think he will come back, but I don't know if he has the same explosive tendencies that we know that he has. Nico Collins missed a lot of time. CJ Stroud didn't play like the quarterback that we saw in his rookie year. So a lot went wrong, a lot that was uncontrollable. But that's what happens. They also were extremely inconsistent despite all of these injuries. They won 3 games in a row for their longest win streak of the year. And that started in September. On the 29th and went through the second week of October. And then after that, they went 5-6 the rest of the way, kind of just win, lose, lose, win, lose, things of that nature. So a little too much inconsistency from the Texans. I know they won the division, but they kind of lucked out that their division is what it is. Chargers are playing really good football. They've won 3 in a row, even though before then they've been playing pretty solidly before this win streak. And I like the story too. I think they would match up It would be a fun matchup if they played the Chiefs. If the Broncos if they don't beat the Bills, the Chargers would play the Chiefs if they were to win. I think that would be pretty fun to watch as well. So, yeah, give me the Chargers. I like Justin Herbert in this scenario. Love what he's been able to do, missing his number one target in Keenan Allen, who's now in Chicago. J.K. Dobbins has played pretty well. I know he had a little bit of a stint on IR, but that's been a good addition. Quentin Johnston has taken a step forward. Ladd McConkey's been a revelation for this team, and Jim Harbaugh as well. Great, great pickup as the head coach. I will take the Chargers for sure. And they're favored as well. Not to any surprise, but maybe a little bit of a surprise. They're on the road, even though they are a better team. On the road for the playoffs, though, is no joke, no matter where you're at. But Chargers, just all around better squad for sure.
Our next game this weekend on Saturday at 8 p.m. is the number 6 seed Steelers at the 3rd seed Ravens, a little AFC North matchup. My pick on this one is going to be the Ravens. It's tough for me to pick against Lamar Jackson with the season he's been having. The Ravens have won 4 in a row. They're on a great streak here, whereas the Steelers are kind of going the opposite direction. Their offense has been slowing down a little bit, and they've lost 4 in a row. So, I have been impressed with the Steelers this season. I will say that it's been fun to watch the AFC North race as the season came to a close, see those two teams fighting it out. But I'm going to go with the Ravens. Also, shout out Derrick Henry, who's having an unbelievable season. I love Lamar and Derrick Henry together. They're so much fun. So, that's going to be my pick. Will, how about you?
I'm going to go with the Ravens. Yeah, shout out Derrick Henry. I was looking at his stats today. He's also, if he puts up another 1,000-yard rushing season, just a little side note, I think he jumps to about 11th all time, which is crazy. Just a true workhorse running back. Love watching him throughout his career. To me, Lamar's the MVP, no doubt. You can make an argument for Burrow. His team didn't make the playoffs. You can make an argument for Josh Allen. That one game against the Patriots really was a stinger. Lamar didn't have any of those. I would put Lamar Jackson as the MVP. Love the guy. He's electric. The Steelers, they're playing like the Steelers. They have played like this down the stretch for probably the last 5 or 6 years or so. I'm losing track, but they will put up a good season in the first half, come out of the bye, and then it kind of all crash. It just kind of crashes and burns for them. It's pretty sad to watch. Now, granted, they did have a really tough schedule for the last month. Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals. That's really, really tough. That Bengals game was a killer too. That was a close one. But at the end of the day, if you are a Super Bowl contender, those are teams that you're gonna have to beat. I know the Bengals missed out, but they very easily could have made the playoffs. They played like a playoff team against the Broncos. They've been playing like a playoff team the last 5 or 6 weeks around there. And the Eagles, Super Bowl contender. The Ravens, you're going to play them. They're a Super Bowl contender. The Chiefs have just won back-to-back Super Bowls. I can keep going on, but if you're the Steelers, you got to win games like that. And you're now in a game like that, which is a playoff game. If you lose, you go home. But that's just kind of how the story has been for the Steelers over the last few years. And I think the Ravens are just overall a better ball club. I think it raises questions about Mike Tomlin. I know the over 500 thing, and maybe, they don't make the playoffs sometimes, but they've made the playoffs a good amount of years while he's been at the helm. I think there's some conversations that are going to be had on whether he stays or not. He's a winning coach. I think he'd fix a lot of cultures in the NFL right now. But if you're the Steelers, you're trying to then go and and win playoff games, not just make the playoffs. So we'll see. I'm kind of mambling here, but I will take the Ravens. They are a much stronger ball club, 100%.
I'm back and forth on this one, guys. The only reason is when the AFC North plays each other, the AFC North plays differently. And Lamar Jackson in his career is 3-5 against the Steelers. This win at the end of the season was his first win against the Steelers since 2019. It's not like he's dominated the Steelers in his entire career, but you look at the game earlier this season, which the Steelers won. The Steelers didn't score a touchdown in that game. 18 points off of all field goals. Lamar Jackson had basically identical stats, except in the second game, He didn't throw a pick, or I think he still threw a pick, but he threw three touchdowns. And Derrick Henry ran for 160 yards. If you're going to let Derrick Henry run for over 100 yards, the Ravens are going to walk through the Steelers. That's how it's going to go. You can't beat the Ravens if you're letting Lamar Jackson get going, which at this point, I don't think there's a way to really slow him down. He's had such an incredible season, especially now down the stretch, that you can't really stop him. The key to stopping this Ravens team is going to be trying to slow down Derrick Henry. And do the Steelers have the firepower to do it? Yeah, they have a great defense. I still think TJ Watt is one of the best defensive players in the league. Always up there for defensive player of the year. It is going to be Pat Surtain though this year. But if anyone's going to slow down a Derrick Henry and be a run blocker, it's going to be that Steelers front. It's going to be TJ Watt. It's just a matter of can they get in there on Sunday? Can't or on Saturday. Sorry, this game's on Saturday. Can they slow down Derrick Henry? And can they score the ball? I'm having Russell Wilson PTSD every time I watch the Steelers because I'd like you guys remember he was on the Broncos for 2 years, and every big game we had, Russ seemed to falter. And I just don't know if Russ is has that same. I don't know if he just has that same mentality, that same skill level to pull off a big win like this, because it seems like anytime he's in the pocket, he's antsy. He's ready to immediately exit and run right into pressure, and he's getting sacked over and over and over again, killing drives. Even you see in the last game for the Steelers where they had to win that game if they wanted that fifth seed to play Houston, Russ is over there running the clock out because he's trying to make plays that aren't there. He's running the ball and getting tackled and killing about 10 seconds off the clock doing so instead of just throwing the ball out of bounds. I just don't know if Russell Wilson has it in his career to pull off a big win like this, especially with the role that the Ravens are on. But still, like I said, it's the AFC North, and it seems like anything could happen in the AFC North. You had some games where the Browns beat the Steelers this season, or the Ravens had some runs this season against other AFC North opponents. It's a 50-50. I think the game's going to be closer than people think it is, but I think it's too hard to pick against the Ravens this weekend, especially Lamar Jackson with the season he's having. Derrick Henry lately has just been a monster. Like you said, Will, I'm agreeing with you. Lamar Jackson is the MVP of the league. I don't think there's an argument. I think he's the MVP of the league. If you're going to say Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson has better stats in every category. Not really much you could do about it.
Well, next is Broncos at Bills. Zach, I know this is important to you. I'm going to keep my statement on this brief. It's 1 p.m. on Sunday, kicking things off for the three games that day. I am taking the Bills. Bills are 8-0 at home, so that was one thing. Obviously, we've seen them all season, and they're so much fun to watch. The fan base is really fun. I do love the Broncos, though. I love that Bo Nix has been like a success story. I feel like they got like a little bit of questions there. Like nobody really wanted to draft Bo Nix, and now I'm sitting here watching him, thinking like, wow, maybe he should have been drafted by the Giants, and things would be a lot different. But Bills are 8-0 at home. Josh Allen, I do agree that Lamar is the MVP, but I mean, there's a lot of people arguing that it's Josh Allen. He's had a fantastic season as well, and I do generally think that the Bills have a real legitimate shot at the Super Bowl this year. So I am going to take the Bills. Sorry, Zach, but I will throw it to you on this one.
No, it's totally good because I think just about you and everybody else is also picking the Bills in this matchup. You can call me delusional, you can call me crazy. I think the Broncos have a shot in this game, and I think it's going to be closer than people think. Do I necessarily think we're going to go out there and pull off the miracle win? You know what? Maybe. We've had that type of season where, that's all I need to stop saying we, apologies. The Broncos have had that type of season where it just feels kind of magical, like it's just kind of like, the joke I've been making all season is it's the Bo Leave Broncos and the power of friendship versus everybody this week, this season. And I think when you have a defense as elite as Denver, you can have a possibility where they pull off a crazy upset. And may I remind you guys, last season, November 13th, the Denver Broncos marched into Buffalo and were able to get a win on the road over there with Russell Wilson, with about the same roster, if not worse. And they went over there and did it. Why can't they do it again? I mean, it's a playoff atmosphere. It's a different thing. You got different quarterback, everything. But the Broncos front, the Broncos defense is the reason that I think that they could possibly pull off an upset here. They led the league in sacks this season, franchise record in sacks this season. I think in total, what was it? I can't remember, 64, if not more. They had an incredible season on defensive end. You have Pat Surtain, who is going to be the defensive player of the year. At least he is the betting favorite at this moment. But on the Bills side, you have an MVP candidate, Josh Allen, who has played incredible this season, doesn't turn the ball over too much. He just wins. The guy finds a way to win. He went and beat the Chiefs, the only team to beat the Chiefs aside from the Broncos, if you want to count the last week of the Broncos season. But the Bills are the real deal this year. And I think that, yes, they are a Super Bowl favorite. And I think that if there is going to be a year they're going to do it, it's this year. They've looked like that caliber of team, but you got to watch out for that Broncos pass rush because they're going to be trying to keep Josh Allen in the pocket. They're going to make him make decisions. They're going to make him throw the ball. And when you're throwing the ball over to that Broncos secondary, who in the past couple of weeks has looked shaky, little exposable, but the only one who hasn't been is Pat Surtain. And if Pat Surtain could be a game wrecker and absolutely shut down whoever he's guarding, which he's done all season, I don't see why he won't do it again. If the Broncos defense could go out there and get 5 sacks or 6 sacks like they had this past week against KC, they could really wreck this game. They could cause a lot of problems for Josh Allen in that pocket. That offense is not going to be comfortable out there the entire time they're there. I will tell you that. Do I think that they could do it? I'm going to pick the Broncos because you know what? We've had that type of season. I think it's fair to at this point, but all in all, with the whole Bo Nix situation, how great he's looked this season, the team being projected to be the worst roster, if not like bottom three roster at the beginning of the season, everybody counting them out, like you said, everybody already throwing Bo Nix under the bus, saying, hey, this isn't the guy, 25 or 24-year-old rookie coming in. Like, what's he going to do? How's he going to turn this around? Sean Payton in the past season didn't look great with Russell Wilson. Well, they made it all the way to the playoffs. This Denver team is now 10-7. There's a really bright future. So, win or lose on Sunday, I'm really, really happy about this season. We could go and get blown out, and I'll still be happy. I was already celebrating last week the playoff berth, like we just won the Super Bowl. That's how much it meant to me. So, the fact that Bronco playoff ball is back is enough for me. But do I think we could get a magical win? Just maybe. I think we could go in there. I think that Broncos pass rush is just that good. I think the defense could cause a lot of problems. So we'll see how Josh Allen handles it because I think that this is a matchup that not necessarily they wanted at the beginning of the playoffs. I just think that defense is that good, and this is going to be a real test for the Bills offense to see if they can win the Super Bowl this year because they're going to be facing other really great teams, probably KC in the conference championship if they make it that far. But how poetic would it be if Denver got to play KC after this round? If they beat Buffalo, they're going to Arrowhead. And I'll remind you, this season, the Chiefs needed a blocked field goal to beat Denver and a little out of nowhere magical flag thrown for Patrick Mahomes, like he did in every game, to give him a free touchdown. That's how close Denver was beating to KC. So I think if they can possibly get past this game, I would absolutely love the matchup against the Chiefs. I don't care if we get blown out. I just want to see Patrick Mahomes against the Broncos once again. Just a chance to take him down. Just once in the playoffs. Let me take him down.
I will go with the Bills, but I hear you, Zach. And I will say that this game is going to be a little bit closer than people think because of that defense. I think that Josh Allen will find a way to win the game, and that's what will make it really exciting. But that Denver defense is no joke for sure. The receiver core is, I don't think the Bills will get it done in the air. And I know that rush defense is even better for the Broncos. So James Cook is going to have his work cut out for him. But given the fact that it is Josh Allen, and as you said in the beginning of your take there, if this is a year to do it, it's now. It is this year. If the Bills are going to do it, it is this year. I know the Chiefs won 15 games, but look at the schedule, and they did not lay. I know they have the wins, but did they play all that great? In my opinion, no, they did not. I will stand with the fact that if you let the at the time 2-win Raiders march all the way down the field, and they should have beat you, but a bad snap, because that's what 2-win teams do, is what won you that game late in the season like that. I was starting to get a little weary about the Chiefs. So the Broncos, I think, would give them, especially if they beat the Bills, that would be a very exciting game. It'd be the third time that the Broncos would have played the Chiefs. So that becomes a little bit of a different story. But if
Man, I
it
want that matchup so much.
it would be
So
fun.
sorry to interrupt you, but oh man, I want that matchup so badly.
And either of the teams, whether it's the Chargers or if it's the Broncos, a third matchup against the Chiefs is going to be really fun to watch, whether it's one or the other for sure. But if it's, I think that adds to the Bills' case this year. If it's a year to do it, it's this year. It's going to be this year. You've played, this is probably the best the Bills have looked, and they're not even that strong. They don't have that receiver like they did with Diggs, but yet they still look really, really solid. They probably look better than they've looked ever because Josh Allen has looked as good as he has, and probably the best that he's looked throughout his career. So take advantage of it. The Bills are going to have to find a way to win this game. I think they do. I do think it'll be a little bit closer than people imagine, but I will take the Bills for this one.
Zach, I just before we go into the next game, I'd just like to say I feel like you sound like me when the Mets made the NLCS against the Dodgers.
Let's
I started being like, you know, they could do it. So I
do it.
totally support you. I've
Listen,
been
everyone called me delusional all season, and we're here.
We're here.
Exactly.
Here we are.
you know, never say never. So we'll have to see how that one goes. Now on to the NFC. We have the Packers. 7 seed visiting the Eagles at the who are the 2 seed at 4:30 p.m. This is an interesting game to me. They did face off in Brazil. I believe that was the first or second week of the season. I am gonna pick the Eagles on this one. I think the blow a big blow to the Packers was losing Christian Watson, first of all. That was a devastating injury for him and for the team as a whole. The Eagles are kind of on a different plane. They're very healthy right now. They have the receivers. They have Saquon Barkley, which makes me very happy for them, but very sad for me. They also have the tremendous defense. It kind of seems like everything is coming together at the right time for the Eagles. So I am going to go with them. Also, obviously, the home field advantage as well. So that's going to be my pick. How about you, Will?
I'm totally going the Eagles. I don't think it's going to be particularly close. The Packers, great season, especially making the playoffs in the division that they play in and winning double-digit games. Great stuff for them. They're not quite there yet, though. They need a receiver, and their guy in Christian Watson not playing. Also, Jaire Alexander out until at least the Super Bowl. He had some arthroscopic knee surgery, but he's out too. So the your leader on defense and one of your biggest targets on offense, it makes it very tough. And the Eagles just get better. They've looked better each game. Saquon deserves the season that he had. He's amazing. He deserves every single yard that he got and every penny that he got. And the Eagles are going to make a lot of noise. And if I'm going to say it right now, it's going to be them and the Lions. And I could very, very easily see this Eagles team going all the way to the Super Bowl. They're just that dominant. They're that good. I think an NFC championship between them and the Lions is what we need to see. That would be great football, but I digress again. Give me the Eagles for sure.
Yeah, I think this is an easy pick for me. I don't I want to give the Packers their credit, but I just think Philadelphia is that good. And I mean, looking back at this season, can we agree that Saquon Barkley's reverse hurdle, whatever that
Oh,
was one of
dude.
the most insane things I have ever seen.
Yeah, 100%. That was
I mean,
unbelievable.
wow.
Still
Yeah, and
watching.
the season he's had,
I'm crying.
2,050 yards rushing, could have broke the record if he played in that last game, which I wish he did. I really wish he did, but I know it would have hurt you guys for being doing against the Giants. I know that would sting just
Every
a
game
little bit
hurts,
more.
Zach. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
It'll get better, but every single game hurts. The
Oh.
hurdle, like I said, I watch it all the time and it's so good and I cry every time. Every time.
Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. Listen, I was biting my tongue at the beginning of the season because I was like, oh man, watch Russ go over there. And they started off so good. Watch him go over there and have a great season. We're paying him $35 million to not play for him, and we have the same record as the Steelers.
Exactly.
But back to this, I just think the Eagles are the better team. I think they're one of the Super Bowl favorites. I think that Saquon Barkley has just looked absolutely awesome this season, and I just don't think there's a way that Green Bay can slow him down this weekend. I just don't see it happening. I don't see anyone actually slowing him down. I just think the Eagles run them over. I'm not gonna lie. I think it's a blowout, and I think I'd like you mentioned, I would love to see that Eagles Lions matchup in the conference finals. That would be incredible, but we'll see when we get there. We got to get past this weekend, but I think the Eagles easily take care of the Packers.
All right, so closing out the Sunday slate at 8 o'clock. the number six seed Commanders visiting the third seed NFC South champion Tampa Bay Bucks. I'm intrigued a little bit by this game. I don't really like have any, obviously, I don't like the Commanders. I don't have any loyalties to any of these teams, but I'm gonna go with the Commanders because Jaden Daniels, first of all, the turnaround for this franchise as a whole, just not even beyond the on-field impact, like the vibes around the Commanders for a while under Dan Snyder were really bad, and they sold the team and now it's a lot better, and they have, it looks like, their quarterback of the future. He's been fantastic this year. They have won five in a row. They played the Bucks in week one. The Bucks won that one 37-20, I believe was the final score. But Jaden Daniels, he didn't have the best game that weekend, but he's shown a lot of improvement since then. It is tough being a rookie quarterback in the playoffs on the road, but they're 5-3 on the road, so I'm not like totally, scared for them to be on the road for this game at least. And for the NFC South as a whole, like the Bucks did have to fight with the Falcons until the end to make it into the playoffs. So I'm gonna take the Commanders also. Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin have been super, super impressive. And I love what I've, well, I don't love it for myself. I love from a football standpoint what I've seen from the Commanders. So I'm going to take them for the upset over the Bucks in Tampa.
Yeah, I like that. I think this is it's tied for the hardest game. I think Vikings Rams, we'll get into it, is a very interesting game. But in terms of picking a winner, Commanders Bucks, very tough game. I think there's a reason why that this game also has the highest over under total at 50 and a half right now. Out of all the games, all these huge offenses that we were just talking about, this game has that highest total. And I think it's for good reason. Number one, what I'm really excited for, Mike Evans, Marshawn Lattimore, always fireworks. That's going to be really fun. Like where the Commanders are at. I know they kind of faltered a little bit. They had that big win against the Eagles. I know Jalen Hurts got hurt, but they still won the game. The Eagles are still the Eagles. They had a great win against the Falcons down the stretch. They were kind of in the, towards the end, they started to really pick it up, and I got more confidence in them. Around like week 11 to week 15, I was, they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're a quick exit. And I do think they're a quick exit, but I think it's going to be a lot harder of a win for Tampa Bay. I am going to go with Tampa Bay. I really, really like where their offense is at. Their defense is also pretty sneaky too. Even though they don't have the best of numbers, they give them a lot of passing yards, and you're playing against Terry McLaurin. That's going to be tough, but I think their defense can hold their own. They got a great rush defense, so expect a lot of passing for Washington. But I have a lot of faith in Baker Mayfield. I got a lot of faith in the backfield for Tampa Bay. They are playing at home too. That does factor in a lot. And Mike Evans is Mike Evans as well. I think he will have a good game. Him and Baker Mayfield have played really well together. Mike Evans is one of those receivers that he's kind of quarterback proof. He's put up 11 straight 1,000-yard seasons. So, and he's had a ton of different quarterbacks from Jameis Winston to Tom Brady to Baker Mayfield, whoever it was, Mike Evans has played up to it. And, they won that game against the Eagles last year, and it's pretty much the same team minus Chris Godwin adding in Bucky Irving. So this is a tough game to pick. I will pick the Bucks, though. I can see why you went the Commanders, Grace, and I can't say like you're wrong. Absolutely, I think that's a solid pick as well. It could go either way. Personally, I will lean the Bucks, though.
Man, this is the coin flip for me. This is definitely truly one of the coin flips of the playoffs. I think to me, this is the hardest one to predict because I think these are both two teams that match up very well with each other and they kind of have some wild cards to them. We have Baker Mayfield, who's had a really good season, really good bounce back here for him. Jaden Daniels has been a super, super exciting rookie. If it wasn't for him, my precious Bo Nix would be the rookie of the year. But I digress. Jaden Daniels has had a great season. And their offense can be explosive at times. Same with Tampa Bay's, though. So, oh man, I just think that this is one of the matches where the home team is going to truly be the deciding factor of it. It's going to really play a role in this game. And I think Washington being on the road, and if you guys don't remember, this is a rematch from week one where Tampa Bay got the best of Washington. And Baker had a phenomenal game. Like, had no picks, I think three or four touchdowns. this kind of welcoming party to the season where everyone was like, whoa, Baker Mayfield. It's so tough for me to pick it. I'm going to go with Tampa just because they are going to be playing at home. I think Baker Mayfield's looked great this season. I think he's had a lot of experience up to this point, and I think that experience is going to be really, really crucial for them winning this game and him getting over the first round hump. I don't see the Bucs going necessarily far in the playoffs. I think it's this, they win this game. Either of these teams is a win this game and they're done. But at the end of the day, I think this is going to be a really exciting matchup. I think this is going to be one of the more fireworks matchups of the weekend. So definitely don't miss this one. But I think, man, it's a coin flip. I'm going to go with Tampa in this one. I think Baker's had that type of year where he has the fire to get a first round win.
All right, our last game of the weekend, Monday night at 8 o'clock, is the Vikings visiting the Rams. Vikings, as we saw Monday night, lost to the Lions, so they have to play this week. Lions obviously secure the one seed, the NFC North, and therefore the bye for this weekend. But that was, I will admit, a pretty bad performance from Sam Darnold. A couple days ago, but I am still gonna go with the Vikings. 14-win team. Sam Darnold up until this past weekend has been really, really solid, and it's been really fun to watch his resurgence after his career history with the Jets and the Panthers, and we all remember how that went. But I don't think that that's going to happen again for him. I think honestly, just get the ball to Justin Jefferson and it should all be okay. The Rams have been impressive this season, I will say that. I feel like they've been a little under the radar, because the NFC West was a little bit up and down this season. But I am going to go with the Vikings. Hard to not pick a 14-win team. That is the fifth seed. It's crazy that that's how the season panned out, that a 14-win team is going to be on the road and is the fifth seed in the NFC. But I'm going to go with the Vikings. Zach, what's your take?
Yeah, I think it's crazy that we have a 14-win wildcard team. That's crazy. Also, even crazier that the Minnesota Vikings are a 14-win team at the end of the season. I thought we're supposed to be in a rebuild year this season, and they decided to mess around with Sam Darnold, and here they are. 14 wins, fifth seed in the playoffs. I think they have a tough matchup here with the Rams in the first round. You're going up against Matthew Stafford, who always has that experience on his side, a Super Bowl winning quarterback at this point. It's going to be hard to get past them. I don't think it's an easy game, but I think Minnesota has proven through this season that they could be one of the teams to beat. They could be one of the teams that could make a little bit of a run here. Yeah, we watched Detroit blow them out of the water last weekend and make them not look like that, but I still think Minnesota still has some fires. I mean, you have Justin Jefferson on that side of the football. You can make magic happen, and you just got to get the ball in his hands, and that's one of the guy who's always open. Another guy who, the original quarterback proof, I feel like receiver, one of them up at least, because no matter who that guy plays with, he's awesome. So I just think Minnesota's just the better team in this matchup. I just think coming in with 14 wins, they've proven this season they can be competitive. They've proven they deserve to be in the dance. I think they could go out and get a win against the Rams. I feel like the Rams have been a little shaky this season. I don't necessarily trust them in a playoff scenario, especially against a team that has done so well through their season. I just think Minnesota gets this win, and we'll see. But it's the playoffs. It's crazy. I don't want to just go out here and say everything's like, oh, this is for sure, this is a lock. But I feel like, to me, Minnesota just feels like they are the better team in this matchup, and I just think they get it done.
See, this is why I definitely put this up there with Commanders Bucks in terms of being kind of a trap game. Number one, the Rams did win the head-to-head against the Vikings this year. And looking back at their schedule, now granted, in the beginning, it was unreal what the Vikings were doing because number one, they played the Giants, and the Giants turned out to be who they were. But a lot of people picked the Giants to win that game, and the Vikings handed it to them in week one. Then they played the 49ers, who completely fell apart. But in week two, still without Christian McCaffrey, still a good ball club. Next year, they are totally going to be a really good team. I can see it happening. I could totally see them winning 11, 12 games, no matter what they do in the offseason. Could see it happening next year. They just had a down year. Everyone was hurt. They were on the fifth string running back. Then they played the Texans, bodied them. Played the Packers, won that game too. Played the Jets, who were still kind of in this we're good conversation, beat them. So at the time, those were really big wins. Now I look back on it and I say, man, were these teams just showing their true identity early on? I guess so. Looking at their other wins, they lost back to back to the Lions and to the Rams. They beat the Colts, Jags, Titans, Bears, Cardinals. That I'm looking at that. That's five very winnable games. I could have seen them losing one to the Cardinals. They won all five as they should have. They beat the Falcons. Big win. At the time, also beat the Bears pretty handily again. Then the Seahawks, and then the Packers, and then they lost that game to the Lions. So I'm not saying it's a fraudulent 14-win season because they definitely were not supposed to be a 14-win team. And yet here we are. I will say, though, that the Rams, of all the teams, could be that squad to expose the Vikings a little bit. That's not the Lions, and that's not the Eagles. The Rams are a very solid team. They're a very well-coached team, and so are the Vikings. It should be very interesting. Kevin O'Connell is from the McVay tree, so that I think has a little bit of a narrative to push there as well. It's going to be a very exciting game. McVay's going to know his staff. He knows who Kevin O'Connell is as well. You know, he's going to know this team pretty well. This is going to be a very exciting game. With that being said, I am going to lean the Vikings. I think it's very hard to not lean the Vikings at 14 wins. They're pretty explosive. I know they threw up a dud last week, but it's hard to go against what Sam Darnold is doing. The fact that Justin Jefferson is Justin Jefferson. I will say, don't count the Rams out, though. This is going to be a ball game. Let me go with the Vikings. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I wouldn't be surprised. If I'm right, yay. But keep your eye on this game. This is going to be a really fun game to watch.
Well, that is going to do it for this week's edition of NFL Friday. We will obviously be watching this weekend's games very closely, and we will check back in next week when we have some winners and losers of these games. But for my co-hosts, Will Talent and Zach Cordova, I'm Grace McCarron. Thank you for listening to this week's edition of NFL Friday, which is a production of WFUV Sports.